ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But she also sent letters to get men to speak against Naboth, wicked men, scoundrels, and say that he blasphemed God and the king. And what a great plan for her. They came against Naboth, saying he blasphemed God and the king, and the punishment for that was to be stoned to death. And that's exactly what happened. And you know what they did after that? She took his property. The king was able to get his property for his garden. That's exactly what the Roman Catholic Church did. They used false accusers who brought charges against innocent landowners, charges of heresy. They would be executed, and the Roman Catholic Church would take their property. The Inquisition. It's probably not spoken that way, but that's exactly what was taking place. The Catholic Church is extremely wealthy due to their land and financial holdings. For 900 years, from around 600 to 1500 AD, vast amounts of property, money, treasures were accumulated by the church using this practice, as well as through the selling of indulgences. I mean, a lot of property from the Jews when Hitler was taken over is in the Vatican, hidden away. Millions and millions of dollars of artwork and other things. Now, what are indulgences? Oh, this is a great way to make money, guys. This is a great way to make money. Indulgences mean forgiveness in advance. I like that because I'm going out Saturday night and I'm going to party. I may do some things that may not be right. I might be getting drunk. I may go out with some women. I may do all kinds of things. But before I go, if I pay the church some money, I get a free pass to do whatever I want. So here's the money. I'm going to go party. What a great way to make money. You have the lighting of candles. Light a candle. Pay your money. And get your loved one out of purgatory faster. Mass card. Pay for your mass card. If you want to be cheap, he'll stay in, or she'll stay in purgatory longer. But you give us lots of money, hey, that's a pass to get out of purgatory a lot faster. They've profited very much. Dave Hunt gives us this insight in how they were making money off of God by the things that they were doing. There were tiny vials of true milk from the Virgin Mary's breast, pickled fingers and toes of this or that saint, and enough pieces of wood in Europe venerated as part of the true cross to build a cathedral. Hey, you could sell anything, can't you? Even toenails of the saints were worshipped by the deluded devout. Peter's toes were uncommonly prolific. There were enough certified trimmings in Europe's cathedrals to fill a gunny sack. The biggest scam was self-indulgences to release deceased relatives from purgatory. And who would refuse to buy Aunt Maria's release from the flames? From such blood money, St. Peter's Basilica was repaired and expanded to its present form. Wow. It's also interesting, Jezebel allowed herself to be worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. And that's something God forbid. In fact, you can read of that in Jeremiah 7:18, chapter 44, verses 15 through 30 as well. And it didn't really come from Jezebel, guys. This was a Babylonian phrase that was given to the Babylonian goddess by the name of Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. They founded the whole Babylonian system of pagan worship, and it got its start really first in the Tower of Babel. And down the road, Babel became Babylon. And it was the center of all the false religious systems of worship and occult practices on the face of the earth. But what happened to the Babylonian kingdom? Well, it came to an end. It was defeated by the Medes and the Persians. And guess what? This false religious system moved to Pergamos. And you know where it went to from Pergamos? To Rome. where it's headquartered in the Vatican today and has branched out all over the world. You know, the word Vatican is Latin, and it literally means divining serpent. I'm not even sure why you would call it that, right? I truly believe, as you look at the scriptures and you look at what's going on in the world right now, within the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, I don't know if it'll be this one, I don't think so, but it could be, but the Pope is going to head the one world religious system during the tribulation period. And the lie of the serpent in the Garden of Eden will unfold through this false religious system. What was the lie of the serpent? Oh, you will be like God. You will not die. Has God indeed said? And you get the idea. And it's amazing when you see what the Pope is doing, right? Gathering all the religions of the world together to the Mother Church, which is where? Oh, in Rome. I want you, though, to see how gracious God is. Look at verse 21 here in Revelation chapter 2. And I gave her time to what? To repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Here's the exhortation. You need to repent. Well, yeah, that's obvious. During the Mass, the bread and wine are supposed to be transformed into the literal physical body and blood of Christ. The wafer is the Eucharist. It's idolatry, spiritual fornication. It brings God down into an image or substance for the purpose of worship. And, you know, after the wafer or bread is changed into the body of Christ, what they believe during the Catholic Mass, they put it on display in a little holder with a little round window so that the host can be seen. It's called a monstrance. And it's to be worshipped as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and I was really a bad Catholic. I had no idea about a lot of this stuff. Until I came out of the Roman Catholic Church and I started reading this. Going, really? You know, I used to be an altar boy. And, you know, I used to hold that little plate under people's chin, right? I didn't know that they didn't want the body of Christ to fall on the floor. I just thought they didn't want the wafer to fall on the floor. That's how ignorant I was. You know, after I got saved, I'm reading all this stuff and finding this out. I'm like, I'm shocked. What's the Lord calling them to do here? Repent. Turn, you're going in the wrong direction, guys. You need to turn around, do a 180-degree turn. You need to come back to me because you're going in the wrong direction. And they refused to change their ways. It says, and she did not repent. Now, does that mean the Catholics did not repent? No. They're talking about the church itself. The Roman Catholic Church refused to change her ways. That's interesting. That doesn't speak of individuals, because every individual has a choice. This is speaking about the church itself, the Roman Catholic Church. And it's interesting because even today you tell people the truths of God found in the Word of God. You show them scriptures, and they get mad, and they say, my church is right, I don't care what you say, this person is right, that person is right, I'm sorry. Can people be wrong? Yeah, they can. But God can never be wrong. So you got to trust him instead of listening to what a man is saying. Do you really want to follow the church history that is presented as you look out at the Roman Catholic Church? No. I want to follow Jesus. Their doctrines are never going to change, guys. Well, they could get worse, but they're not going to get better. They're not going to turn to Jesus, the Roman Catholic Church itself. They're not going to repent. But people from within the Roman Catholic Church can get saved. But the church itself is doomed, and we'll see that as we move on. But keep in mind what the Lord said in Genesis 6:3. My spirit shall not strive with man forever. We're moving into a time where God's judgment is coming. You don't put off today the call of God upon your life. Why? Because there's consequences. And Jesus is going to let them know that if they don't repent, there's some major, major consequences, and these things are not good. This is a warning. Look at verse 22 here in Revelation chapter 2. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Here's the warning that Jesus gives to this church. If you continue down this path, you're going to die in your sins. And he says, I'm going to kill your children with death. That seems a little harsh, doesn't it? I mean, we don't picture Jesus doing that, right? It seems unloving. We've got to understand what Jesus is saying when he speaks of children here. These are the spiritual children of this woman, Jezebel. Those who follow her doctrine, who follow her ways, those who are baptized into this false religious system. And it continues on from generation to generation. They're going to die in their sins. They're going to be judged according to their works as they're cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. In fact, that phrase, "and I will kill her children with death," is literally saying in the Greek, "I will put her children to death with death." Well, what does that mean? I think it's referring to the second death, the lake of fire. And this is to all the churches, all those that are following, all those that are within that Roman Catholic Church all over the world, throughout history. I'm going to punish them according to their works. Wait a minute. God's going to punish them according to their works. I thought it's all about grace. Now we're being judged by our works? What's that about? Well, understand, this is not speaking of good works to enter into salvation. Okay, you go to hell for your rejection of Jesus Christ. The degree of punishment in hell is according to the things you've done in this life. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. We'll get there in about 3 or 4 years, but I'll just share this with you. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And Jesus is saying, look, if they don't repent of the beliefs that they have, these false beliefs, they're going to be judged. In fact, some are going to go into what? The Great Tribulation. This is the first time we see this warning that they're going to be cast into the Great Tribulation. And for the rest of the churches, all the way through Laodicea, excluding the Church of Philadelphia, which will be taken out, as we'll see when we look at that church. If they don't repent, they're going to go into the tribulation period. So what that tells me is the practices of this church system that's in existence today, is going to continue on through the tribulation period. It may change some, because we see the Pope changing all kinds of beliefs right now, accepting homosexuality and all kinds of different things, accepting witch doctors and pagan priests and all kinds of things as part of the Roman Catholic Church. And I think, again, he's going to unite the religions of the world. He has a huge following. As you've seen in our prophecy update studies on New Year's Eve, we see him gather with all kinds of Protestant church leaders that don't have a problem with what he's saying, and they should. Well, look at verse 24. "But to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan, as they call them, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken to pieces, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star." So we saw one group of children, the children of Jezebel, those who had bought into their false religious system, are going to be cast into the lake of fire, the second death. Here's another group of children who didn't buy into this false religious system. They have not let the deep things of Satan affect their lives. They are children of God because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14, "giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." That's it. How are we transferred into the kingdom of the Son? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We received redemption. And he gives us a promise for those who trust in him. Hold fast, take a firm grip on the things of God. Why? Because there are those who will try and take it away from you. What do you hear in the Roman Catholic Church? What is the one thing that they tell you? If you leave the Roman Catholic Church, you are destined for hell, because we are the one true church. Have you ever heard me say, if you leave Calvary Chapel, you're destined for hell? No, because you're not. It's not what church you belong to. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. So when you want to hold on to people, you threaten them. For those who have come out of that Roman Catholic Church, who don't hold on to those doctrines, Jesus says you will rule the nations. And the word rule, poimeno in the Greek, speaks of shepherding the nations in the kingdom age. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. And what a beautiful relationship with our Lord and those who have entered into the kingdom age from the great tribulation. We are going to shepherd them, watch over them, care for them. And he's going to give us the morning star. The morning star is when it's seen as the brightest appearance just before the dawn. And what an encouragement for these people living in the dark ages. The morning star, the brightest star, it's coming. Things are not going to continue like this. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back. The light of the world is coming. And when he comes, it's going to light up the sky. Our morning star is coming back. And he's going to pierce this darkness. And we're not going to go through the tribulation period as her children, Jezebel's, will. There's a difference. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great comfort. What a great hope. We're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. If we weren't going to be taken home to be with the Lord before the tribulation period started, in the scriptures we'd be told, look for the Antichrist, because when he comes, know that I'm coming right after him. It doesn't say that. The Antichrist is released on the scene in this world as the first seal judgment is opened by Jesus. Paul says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who I'm looking for. Now, one more point here in Revelation 2:24, it says the depths of Satan. What is that about? It's interesting. The word depths comes from a Greek word, bathos. And it was a word that described the priest of ancient Babylon, their false religious system, especially related, not just to, but especially to the high priest of this religion. And he took the title Pontifex Maximus. Well, that's what the Pope takes, right? That's what Constantine took as his title. Very interesting. And they believed that they alone were given the wisdom to understand these doctrines, to interpret them, and the common person can't. That's not how our God works. In fact, it's very interesting because in the New Testament, who did Jesus continually rebuke? The Jewish religious leaders. And what did he say to them? Have you guys not read? Are you guys not familiar with the scriptures? Because you're asking me a question you should really know. Have you read what the scriptures are saying? To the common person, he was very compassionate with them. And we need to be careful. We need to expose false doctrine, no doubt about it. But we need to do that in love, guys. And we need to reach out to people. Don't allow the doctrines of men to negate the word of God. I don't care who they are. I don't care what titles they have after their name. I don't care how popular they are. When Sarah Young wrote Jesus Calling, it was a wrong number. Because what she wrote in there was contrary to what the scriptures were saying. And I guess I don't understand why I need to hear more words of Jesus, because I have enough trouble with what he's already given me and following that. Why do I need a new revelation from God? I don't. I've got this right here from Genesis to Revelation. And I will guarantee you, you can study the scriptures your entire lifetime, and you're scratching the surface of what God has in here, because this book is living and powerful. How many times have you read a passage and all of a sudden you're reading it and you go, I never saw that before. I never saw in the Gospel of John where some of the first disciples of Jesus were originally disciples of John the Baptist. And I've read that 30, 40, 50 times. I never saw that before. And I love how God does that. All of a sudden it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. That is so cool. Now I see how that's flowing. These guys were searching for God. They were getting right. John the Baptist was preparing the hearts of the people. And when they saw Jesus, they followed him. Wow. We don't add to the words of God, we don't take away. We don't add to the finished work of Christ because it's not a continual sacrifice. We don't add ceremonies or masses or other works or rituals because they do nothing for your salvation and they lead you away from God. And Jesus said, hold fast and don't dwell on the things of Satan or those things that are in opposition to God. Yeah, Jezebel introduced idolatry and fornication into the northern kingdom of Israel. And this new Jezebel here in Revelation 2 has introduced idolatry and spiritual fornication into the church, and it was just as dangerous. The idolatrous church. I can't tell you, I can't stress this enough. In the days we're living in, take a firm grip on the things you know, on God's word, the truths of God, and you won't go astray. But as soon as you start listening to the words of men, you're going to be in trouble. When people say, well, most of what they say is okay, that's kind of dangerous. Now, I'm not saying everything a person's going to speak is 100% correct. Okay, it's just not going to be. But if they start teaching against foundational truths, that's it. You got to throw that away. Don't listen to them. Because I'll tell you what, like with my GPS that I don't listen to, when I start going a little bit away, I end up real far away. When Steve and I were traveling years ago down to the men's conference in Lake Geneva in Wisconsin, we ended up in Illinois. We missed Lake Geneva completely. You need to follow your God positioning satellite, the Word of God. Well, let's finish up with verse 29. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have ears to hear. We also need to be open to what the Spirit is saying to us and apply these things to our lives. We need to pay attention to what God is saying. It's that important. A.W. Tozer put it like this, and it's kind of a calling to awaken us out of our spiritual sleepiness and encourage us to continue forging ahead. This is what he wrote. Our fathers believed in sin and the devil and hell, and in God and righteousness in heaven. Humans, our fathers held, had to choose sides. They could not be neutral. For them, it must be life or death, heaven or hell. And if they choose to come out on God's side, they could expect open war with God's enemies. The fight would be real and deadly and would last as long as life continued here below. How different today. People think of the world not as a battleground, but as a playground. We're not here to fight, we're here to frolic. We're not in a foreign land, we are at home. This idea has now been accepted in practice by the vast majority of fundamentalist Christians. They might hedge around the question, but their conduct gives them away. This was written many years ago by Tozer. Look at where we are today. The church has been letting darkness come right in. We need to stand firm and not fall into this spiritual fornication, idolatry, listening to the words of man instead of the words of God. Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Our ears need to be open. Our hearts need to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying to us, and we're to follow him. It's that important in these days. You know, Paul said it's not time to sleep, it's time to awaken out of our sleep. And we need to do that. The darkness is all around us. But if we're truly the light of, if the light of God is shining in our lives, it will expel that darkness. Don't hide the light. Don't let the darkness overcome you. But shine brightly for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you so much for your word. And your love. how you cry out to the people in these churches to come out, to repent, to turn around and get right with you and not follow the words of man, but follow your words. And Lord, that's true for us. Not to be overcome by the wickedness of this world and to start following the ways of this world, but to keep our eyes focused upon you and to follow you all the days of our life. We love you so much, Lord. May we shine brightly for you in these days. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.